Thank you to the choir for that opening intro, reminding us of the season of the year. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Can I welcome you all here this evening? It's great to see you along as regulars and as family and as friends along tonight to our special family and friends carol service. It's a great encouragement to have you along. It's an encouragement to all the boys and girls especially, and as well as welcoming you. I want to thank you for being along and supporting us in this way. And I want to say now my best thanks to all the boys and girls and the parts they've been playing and will play tonight. Tonight in readings, in playing, and in singing. They've been busy over the last couple of weeks in Sunday school getting ready for the service this evening, and we look forward to what they will bring to us in the program. Also to Jane and Karen and her music group and the choir, and to all who have helped to prepare the church for this evening. We're trying something a little different this year. We're doing it by candlelight. Now, I know it's artificial candlelight, but we're trying to give that extra sense of atmosphere to the building tonight, and we have a display here at the front of the main scene. Desmond has kindly gifted this stuff to us this evening. We thank him for that. And if you have opportunity after the service, you'd be welcome to come to the front and have a little look at that. But thank you for coming and welcome along this evening. And I trust and I know that we'll enjoy our friendship and our fellowship together. And can I encourage you all at the end of the service to stay on for a little while and have some further time together and company together and chat together, because there's tea, coffee, juice and light refreshments, mince pies and shortbread and crisps for the young ones. Also, young ones, before you go home tonight, you make sure you come up and see me here at the front, because we've got a gift for each of you to take away with you after the service tonight. So don't go home with without that later on tonight. But you're warmly welcome, folks, and we'll go through our program together tonight now. And we're going to have a word of prayer and then our opening carols. So let's just bow our heads and have a word of prayer together first of all. Our God and our Father, we thank you for Christmas time. We thank you that Christmas means Christ is born. We thank you for your gift, the gift of your very own Son, to be our Savior. The angel said, call him Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins. And Lord, as we tonight hear the Christmas story from the words of Scripture, from your word, and as we sing the carols and hear the music, we pray that you will bring it again freshly to all of our hearts, what the true and real and lasting meaning of Christmas is. We love Christmas, and the children especially love it. And help us, Lord, to enjoy our Christmas season with all of our families and our friends and all the festivities that are part of it. But help us not to forget, it's a time of faith. And help us all, Lord, to find faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem. We remember his birth tonight, but he was born to die on the cross for our sins. And we thank you. That is why he came into the world. So bless us all in our service together this evening. We ask our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to sing a lovely carol and a famous carol to start with, standing to sing. It's O Come All Ye Faithful, Joyful and Triumphant. We're coming together to worship the Lord. So let's stand and worship him in our opening piece together. O Come All Ye Faithful.
Thank you.
We're going to start our series of readings. We'll tell the story of Christmas tonight through the famous readings from God's Word, Old Testament and New, as well as in the words of our carol and the pieces that will be specially sung. And our two readers to start with this evening are Matthew and Samantha. So I'll ask them to make their way to the front, please. And they're going to read two portions of Scripture that tell us right from the start about the birth of the Lord Jesus and how he was God made flesh amongst us. And after Matthew and Samantha have read, the choir will sing. There's a song in the air.
John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not understand it. John 1:10-14. He was in the world, and through the world was made by him. The world did not recognize him. He came to his own, but his own received him not. To as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even those who believe on his name. Sons born not of natural descent, nor by human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us for a while. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth.
Luke 2:1-7, the birth of Jesus. In those days, a decree was sent out by Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Everyone went to his own city to register. So Joseph went from the city of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he was of the house of David. He went there to register with his wife Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was with child. While they were there, the time came for the child to be born, and she gave birth to her first son, a boy. She wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
There's a star in the sky.
Let's all sing again another lovely carol. Once in royal David's city stood a lowly cattle shed. Let's stand and sing this lovely carol. The story continues with three more Bible lessons, Gracie and Emily, Harry and Jack. So Gracie, Emily, Harry and Jack, and after they've finished their readings, our senior group are going to sing two pieces, "For unto us a child is born and his name is higher." But Gracie, Emily, Harry and Jack, first of all, thank you.
Eve disobeyed God and had eaten the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. This brought sin into the world. But God always hid his plan to send Christ into the world to defeat Satan and sin. The baby in the manger would be the Saviour on the cross. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is that you have done?" She answered, "The serpent tricked me, and I did eat." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock with all animals. You will crawl on your belly and eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will bruise his heel." Almost 700 years before Christ was born, Isaiah gave the prophecy about how great he would be. He would be David's greater son and our Saviour. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who live in the land of the shadow of death, on them has the light shone. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it with justice and righteousness for this time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this."
God promised little Bethlehem a great place in history. "And you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the princes of Judah, out of you will come one who will rule my people, Israel, whose origin is old from ancient times."
Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. At the end of the Old Testament, God spoke a promise, and although God was silent for the next 400 years, the promise was then fulfilled. "Surely the day is coming and will burn like a furnace. All proud and evil people will be like stubble and will burn away on that day. But for all people who respect my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healings in his wings."
Going to sing again, a more modern carol this time called "Look to the Skies, There's a Celebration." Let's stand and sing again this more modern carol.
Look to the skies.
we're going to have three more lessons read to us by Evie and Callie and Abby. Thank you.
Luke chapter 1, 26 to 33. The birth of Jesus is announced to Mary. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel appeared and said to her, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was troubled and wondered what this greeting meant. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of David, and he will rule over the house of Jacob. His kingdom shall never end." "How will this be?" asked Mary. The angel answered, "The Spirit of God will come upon you, and the Holy One will be born, and he will be called the Son of God."
Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 23. The angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her privately. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what God had said, what God had spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us."
Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 18. The angels appeared to the shepherds, and there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very afraid. But the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." When the angels had left them, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go into Bethlehem and see these things that have happened, which the angels have told us about." So they hurried off, and they found the baby with Mary and Joseph lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word that had been told them concerning the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them.
Thank you, girls. Now we've heard about the stars. There's a star in the Christmas story. It's a nice night. There will be stars in the sky. And we're going to have the stars, I think, now of our carol service this evening, because it's the turn of the junior Sunday school. And they've been busy and they've been rehearsing, and they're going to come and sing to us a number of pieces this evening. They're going to sing a piece called "Under a Star." So come you up, start making your way up, all you young ones who are going to be singing now to us. They're going to sing a piece called "Under a Star." They're going to sing a piece called "A Baby is Going to be Born." Then they're going to sing "Away in a Manger." There's going to be a solo verse at the start of "Away in a Manger." And then we're all invited to join in with them, just remaining seated and singing along with them, "Away in a Manger." And then again, we're invited to join with them in singing a little piece at the end called J-O-Y, which goes to the tune of "Jingle Bells." And we all know that one. So boys and girls of the junior Sunday school, we're really looking forward to hearing you singing this evening. You've been practicing tremendously well and doing really, really well this morning. So I trust that they'll turn it on and give us a lovely piece now tonight as they sing to us. So "Under a Star," a baby is going to be born. Then away in a manger, verse 1 is solo, but we can join in and we all end up singing J-O-Y together at the end. Thank you. Told you you would have a treat. I told you they would be the stars of the evening. Weren't they brilliant? Let's give them a big round of applause. Well done. Absolutely brilliant, boys and girls. Lovely pieces. Lovely tunes. Lovely singing. Lovely little messages there. True things and simple little choruses. Wonderful. Well done indeed. That's just a special part of Christmas to hear you singing those bits at the carol service. We're all going to sing again one of maybe of the favourite carols, if not the favourite carol ever written, the lovely carol, Silent Night. Let's stand and sing together Silent Night.
Verses 1 to 11, the visit of the wise men. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. He called the chief priests and teachers of the law and inquired of them where the Christ child was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for thus it was written by the prophet, 'You Bethlehem in the land of Judah are by no means the least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod called the wise men secretly and asked them at what time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, come and tell me, so that I too may worship him.' After they had heard him, the wise men travelled on their way, and the star in the east went before them until it stopped over the place where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced greatly, and when they had entered into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh."
Oh,
Let's just say a little prayer of thanks and then a short message. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for all your gifts to us, for all the goodness and grace that you show to us, our food, our homes, our clothes, our health, our strength, our jobs, our employment, our income, our family, our friends, all the good things we enjoy, all the good things we hope to enjoy this Christmas season. Lord, just for a moment we take time to remember those much less fortunate than ourselves. Further afield or closer to home, we know there are people, boys and girls, who will not enjoy a great Christmas for various different reasons. So we pray, Lord, tonight that you will be with them and bless them and comfort them and help them and strengthen them and keep them safe. Those who are sick, those who are unwell, those who are in danger, those who are homeless, those who are in parts of the world where there are wars and disasters. We pray for them, Lord. We pray for those who work with them to help them, the aid workers, especially Christian aid workers, who are giving them practical help and also giving them the good news of the gospel of Jesus, the true story of Christmas. So make us grateful and thankful, Lord, for all that we enjoy. And as we have given our offerings now to you tonight, we thank you for the greatest gift of all, the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the first Christmas, and still available to us tonight, this Christmas, still available to us every moment of our lives by asking him into our hearts. Help us to do it if we haven't yet done so. And then we'll have even more reason to praise you and to thank you this Christmas season. And with our thanks, we say our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to share a short story and thought with you this evening, then, using some slides on screen. People are in a muddle, but is God in the middle? That's the thought that I want to share with you this evening. People in a muddle, but God in the middle, is he? That's the question. And I want to think about the first Christmas, and then I want to think about maybe what we're like now, this Christmas. Let's start with that first Christmas. Here we have Mary and Joseph on their way from Nazareth, where they normally lived, to the little town of Bethlehem. What a muddle they must have been in. Try and imagine it in your mind. All their normal life had been upset. It had been thrown into a turmoil. I'm well sure. Joseph had been visited by an angel to tell him that the girl to whom he was engaged was expecting a child. And the child's father was God. God the Holy Spirit had come upon her, and she was expecting a child, God's son. Mary had also been visited by an angel to be told not to worry, that this was a surprising thing that was about to happen. She would never, ever have imagined it. But she was to give birth to a child, and it was God's son. God the Holy Spirit had helped her conceive this child. And then on the top of that news, they got the message from the Roman authorities that they had to up and leave where they were living and go back to the town of their birth. So Joseph had to get Mary, his wife, who's pregnant, and load her up on the donkey and travel the journey to Bethlehem to prepare for the census. And we heard that in our readings earlier. So their life at that moment must have been in a real muddle, and they must have been wondering what's going to happen next. Here we are in the busy little town of Bethlehem. The Roman soldiers were there. Crowds of people were coming there, not just Mary and Joseph. The town was packed. There was a whole muddle of people, masses of people crowding into the little town of Bethlehem, trying to find somewhere to stay, trying to register, trying to pay their taxes. Again, their whole normal lives upset and changed about and muddled about because of having to go and pay their taxes. And into the middle of that comes Mary and Joseph, looking for somewhere to give birth to the baby, because the time of the baby's birth has nearly arrived. Here we have Mary and Joseph at the innkeeper. His normal life must have been in a muddle as well, because it was normally quiet. He might have had a few travellers. But this time, suddenly, he's deluged with people, crowds of people, all looking for a room, desperate, let me in, give me somewhere to rest. I've had to come to Bethlehem to pay my taxes. And now in the middle of it all, he gets a knock to the door and he opens the door. And on top of all the other muddle in the crowd that he's trying to deal with, he has a man who's desperate because his wife is pregnant and about to give birth to a baby. Can he let them in? Can he let them in? But there's no room in the inn. So what's he got to do? What a muddle. What a turmoil they must all have been in. There was no room in the inn, but they found them a place. They found them a place in the little manger. And in the manger, away in a manger, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, in that humble place was born. And there we have Mary and Joseph gazing upon the child in the manger. What about the shepherds? normal night's business, out in the fields, looking after the sheep, settling down for the night. Some of them would keep watch, some of them would have a kip. And then suddenly, there's a light in the sky. Then there are more lights. And they look at these lights, and they're not just stars, but they're angels. And not only are there angels in the sky, but the angels are talking to them. And they're telling them good news. Good news that's specially for them. A baby has been born. No ordinary baby. God's Son, the Savior of the world, has been born in that little town down below you, Bethlehem. So my goodness, was their night set up in a muddle? They'd never seen anything like that. They'd never heard anything like that before in their lives. And they had to look at one another and wonder what on earth was going on and what is this thing that we've just been told? And what was the answer? Well, the answer was they had to go down into the town and find out for themselves to see if this was really true. It was such an amazing story they could barely believe it. And then we also had the reading about the wise men. How were their lives changed? How were their lives put into a bit of a muddle? Because they were well-educated men, they were well-established men, they were wealthy men, well-settled. And then suddenly, this star appears, and they read their books and their parchments, and they believe that this star is something unique, something special. It says that the most special child ever is to be born. And they feel they must follow that star. So they had to get all their belongings together, get their books, get their parchments, get their clothes, get their food, get their camels, get their servants, load up and head off on a trip. And they didn't know exactly where it would take them or how long it would be. But they were determined to follow that star all the way to wherever it ended. They would follow the star, no matter how long it took or no matter how difficult the journey might be. But they must have been in a muddle. Their normal lives had to change. They had to respond to this amazing news, this star in the sky leading them to the newborn baby. And here we have King Herod, the villain in the Christmas story, the wicked King Herod. When he heard the news of the birth of the baby, he thought that his world was well and truly in a muddle and turned upside down because he thought a rival was now born. Somebody was going to try and take over from him as king. And in his wickedness, he ordered the killing of all the baby boys under the age of two. A terrible but true part of the Christmas story. This man in his wickedness wanted other children killed simply to keep himself on his greedy throne. But his life was thrown into a turmoil and into a muddle. And he never got his hands on the Lord Jesus. Remember, he asked the wise men to come back and tell him where they had found him. And he would go and worship them too. Lies. But they were told by God never to go back and tell Herod. And Herod never found the baby Jesus, despite all his efforts. But his life was well and truly turned upside down and in a muddle. So in the first Christmas story, if you look at it from that point of view, many people had their lives in a muddle. But in the middle of it all was the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what about you and me? There we are, the baby Jesus at the center of it all. Mary and Joseph learned that after all the fuss and the bother of having to move and having to travel and trying to find a place, the baby was born. This was God's Son. Emmanuel, God with us. So in the middle of their muddle came the true and wonderful gift of God, His own Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Now, what about you and me? Well, maybe this isn't Ballymena. It's not Ballymena. I've no idea where it is. But it's a packed street, and there have been packed shops and packed shopping centres, and people are frantic to get gifts, and we've still another week to go. And there'll be plenty of people rushing about the town even on next Saturday, Christmas Eve, getting stuff at the last minute. And then the shops will be open again on Boxing Day. If you haven't had enough, you can go straight out on Boxing Day and shop a bit more. But people do get under such pressure and such busyness, and life gets hectic. Life's in a real muddle because of Christmas, and we're more busy than ever. Maybe that's what your life feels like there. A bit of a ball all mixed up of threads and wool all jumbled up. You're in a bit of a muddle. Maybe you've got pets at home, and if they're about the house, they can put things in a bit of a muddle too. Or maybe that's the muddle that you've had to fight your way through when you've been putting up the Christmas tree, and you get out the decorations from last year, and you have to untangle all the lights and all the tinsel. And by gum, it's in a muddle. And you have to do a lot of work to try and sort it out. Or maybe, fellas, that's how you feel when it's all over and done with, trying to play Santa, and you're totally flaked out and you just lie down in a heap. But then, of course, the ladies would always say that they're well organized and they sort Christmas out. And there they are standing, all organized and all their parcels nicely tidied up in a row. But life can be in a muddle as we rush about getting all the Christmas presents ready and making sure we've got one for everyone. And then maybe that's what the dinner table's like, and after we've enjoyed our Christmas dinner, the table's in a mess. It's in a muddle. And having enjoyed the dinner and we're wanting to have a wee sleep maybe, we've got to tidy up the table first. And it's in a bit of a mess. It's in a bit of a muddle. Maybe the children are in a bit of a mess and a muddle too, especially if you leave them to feed themselves like these two. They can get into a bit of a muddle or a bit of a mess, eh? I wonder if you ever seen that in your house. I have in mine. Well, as the famous saying goes, don't get your tinsel in a tangle at Christmas time. Think about this. The truth and the seriousness behind it all. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Why is it true? Why is it true for every one of us? Because it says so in God's word. And because you and I know fine well that when we look at ourselves and we look at the world around us, we're in a muddle. We're in a mess. And we can't put things right for ourselves. Sin has messed up all of our lives. We're in a muddle. And we can't sort it out for ourselves. But wonderfully, the same Bible that tells us that we're in a muddle tells us how we can get it sorted out. Christ Jesus came into the world. Why? To save sinners. We're sinners. We have to admit it. Our lives in a muddle because of sin. But there's an answer. And the answer is the baby of Bethlehem, God's Son, our Savior. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So when we think of the manger, we think of the cross. Because the baby who was born in the manger was called Jesus. Deliberately called Jesus, like the angel said, because he would save the people, his people, from their sins. So when we think of the cross, when we think of the manger, we also think of the cross, because Jesus was born to die. And he lived and he went and he died on that cross. Not for his own sins, because he never had any, but for yours and for mine. So that we can have the muddle and the mess and the sin of our lives sorted out by believing in him. Christmas is a wonderful time for children. We believe it and enjoy it best when we live it like a child. And it's the same with faith in the Lord Jesus. It's childlike faith. We set aside our own pride. We set aside our own self. We set aside all the smartness that we imagine we have as adults. And we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart like a child would. Childlike faith. And the babe in the manger became the Savior on the cross. So Jesus clears the muddle when we place him in the middle of our lives. What must we do? Simple. Believe and receive. Because true Christmas is always in the heart. Thank you for listening. And I wish you on behalf of the church all and your families a very happy and a very peaceful Christmas and a prosperous and blessed new year. But most of all, I trust that you will take Jesus to your heart this Christmas time. Now we're going to finish with a lovely carol, one of my favourites indeed. I think it's my favourite. It's Charles Wesley's great carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King. And then folks, if you're staying for refreshments, just sit on. And boys and girls, before you go home, whether you're staying or having to go home, don't leave. After the hymn and after the prayer, come to the front and get your gift before you go tonight. Hark the herald in. God and our Father, thank you for Christmas. Thank you for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that this Christmas, Lord, he will be born again in our hearts, and that we will believe him and receive him as the greatest gift of all. Bless us, bless our families, help us to have an enjoyable and blessed Christmas season. Thank you for being with us tonight in our carol service, and bless our further time of company and chat together around some light refreshments. And now as our service closes, we ask that your grace, your mercy, and your peace will be with us now and always. Amen.